Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom that Tower of Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This idea still exists among people today. When they see something bad happen to people, they think, they must have been really bad people for that bad thing to happen to them. But the Christian idea is a little different. We all deserve to die. And except we repent, we're all going to die like that. We're all going to die a sinner's death. Not a very noble death. Not a very beautiful death. But just a stark and meaningless death. Now people look at the horrors that happen to some people and they say, well, they deserved it. They must have deserved it somehow. Somehow, because they think God is just. And there's somehow they must have done some sin to deserve this. But they weren't more deserving than anyone else. And many people recognize that. That bad things happen to good people, as they say. But God doesn't look on man as good. I mean, certainly, man can be more or less offensive, right? There are things that man can do that will displease God or please him. But really, our sins don't hurt God. He doesn't have, like, some loss in our sins. It's just that he feels no obligation to cause our lives to persist eternally. That's the thing is, people don't understand is that God gives eternal life. And that man is not owed eternal life. You know, we're not even owed the life we already possess. So if we die a horrible death or live a long life and die in peace, there's really no difference. Because we all likewise die. We all likewise perish. You know, what man sees as a good death and what God sees as a good death are entirely different. You know, we look at Christ and we see how he died so well. But then you see others who live out long lives. And you think, wow, they had a long life. They enjoyed stuff in their lives. They had a full life. And then they died in peace. But they're no different than someone crushed under stones in the sight of God. Their life is cut short. Just the same. Just because we don't expect to live longer than 120 years. We, therefore... You know, anyone who approaches that, we say, well, they lived a full life. But really, we're just settling for what we see as being the average, or what's common, or what is acceptable to us, granted a limited lifespan. But granted an unlimited lifespan, God looks at it all, and it's all the same. And if we don't repent, if our lives aren't turned around so that we could enter into life eternal, we're going to perish just like that. That's just the way that people perish. They just die. Nothing special. They die, and there's nothing more. They die, and that's the end of them. Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. This parable is a theme that runs through several of the Gospels, where Jesus comes out to the fig tree looking for fruit and finds none and curses it. And here is a little more lengthy description, and it's actually delivered in a parable form. And here he had come these 3 years. Jesus came looking for fruit from Israel and finding none. And so he says, cut it down. You know, its roots are taking up ground. It's not bringing forth fruit. There's no point to it. this ground is supposed to produce. And then the vine dresser says, let me give it another year. After Christ's resurrection, the apostles went forth again to proclaim the gospel to Israel. And of course, they didn't bring forth fruit again. And their tree was cut down. The nation was destroyed. Jerusalem was burned and the temple itself was cast down. Now we see here God's patience. But God's patience is not something that doesn't have a limit. God waits long sufferingly. He waits patiently. But he isn't going to wait forever. He doesn't wait forever. Just like with us is that, we can wait, but I don't want to wait forever. I don't want to wait my entire life to be delivered from sins. I need to be delivered now. Because this is the acceptable time for deliverance. Sometimes it can take time. But by patient continuance in waiting for it, in patience, and in waiting, God builds up in us righteousness. I mean, he was right there performing miracles in their midst. And 3 years for a tree is enough. I thank God that he's been more patient with me than that. He suffered long with me. I take comfort when the Lord says to Thomas, "You believe having seen, but blessed are they who believe having not seen." And that's why I always am very hopeful that God will be merciful towards our unbelief at times, because we don't see the things they saw. We can read the book. It's been a long time since they wrote the book. It's been a long time since the apostles went to sleep. It's been a long time since the Lord was caught up to heaven. And we wait. I know that many shall give up before the end. And all the patience they had spent hitherto will be nothing, because they didn't continue to the end. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, verse 10. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?"